Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Boy, you know, I'm still reeling about what happened to Joan Rivers. You know, Michelle, how could this happen? She's at what's supposed to be a top-notch ambulatory surgery center, and for something fairly minor, and then that happened. I mean, what goes on with that?
I don't know. I don't think it was as top-notch as we all thought it was, or she thought it was, right? So we need to talk about what you need to know before you go doing this.
I know, in all ambulatory surgery,
exactly.
And we have our wonderful regular contributor, Dr. Robert Singer, who's been engaged in private practice in La Jolla, San Diego since 1976, and is an internationally recognized plastic surgeon. So, Dr. Singer, you know, what percent of surgical procedures are performed on an ambulatory basis, an office basis, and I mean, is this something that is becoming so commonplace that people just say, okay, it's an ambulatory center, I'll show up, I'll do my thing, I leave, it's not that big a deal?
Well, surgery, and I think there are risk factors in any place. Ambulatory surgery can be done in an in a hospital, it can be in a freestanding center, or a lot of plastic surgery and elective cosmetic procedures are done in office space. So all of those can be done and fall into the category of ambulatory surgery. Actually, within, I can speak to the cosmetic procedures, the vast majority, it's estimated over 75% now are done in office-based surgical facilities. So it's
Why
very common. It's becoming more common. And it's becoming more common because there's improved technology, there's less invasive procedures, better monitoring equipment. Those are all of the reasons. Also, a desire to diminish costs, but you shouldn't do that by cutting corners. Good facilities don't cut corners. There's some real advantages. Besides that, it's more private. You have a dedicated staff. It's really more efficient in the right hands, in the right facility that's accredited. That means a national organization. There's three recognized, the quadruple ASF. There are two others, JACO and Triple HC, that all accredit nationally, and actually quadruple ASF does that internationally. And we can talk about what that means if you want.
Yes, we should talk about what that means, because I want to know if I ask them, I mean, do I ask the question, are they accredited? And then how do I know for sure that they're telling me the truth?
Well, there are a lot of things you can do, and specifically, when you go in for consultation, you want to make sure that the facility is accredited by one of those national organizations. And you should ask to see the facility. If you're uncomfortable, don't have the procedure there. But ask them, are they accredited, and ask to see the certificate and make sure.
I think that's really important.
Up to date.
Yep. That's really important. You know, and I don't think, really, Michelle, I mean, tell me if I'm crazy here, but I don't know that many women, you know, who really do that. They sort of show up, and I think part of it is because it was recommended by the physician, and there's sort of an implicit approval, right?
Right.
If your physician says that's where they're going to go, well, then it must be okay, and it's a little weird. It's not like a woman is choosing her own facility. The physician says show up at blah, blah facility, and, you know, and you don't ask those questions about
accreditation. I've never asked that question. I've never asked that question, Pam, and I've had a few surgeries, and never once have I asked, is this an accredited facility?
So I think that you have to realize that the vast number of states, or a lot of states, do not require any oversight or accreditation of facilities. Only
really?
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
I mean,
idea.
It's astounding. It's astounding. And
that
most
is.
Medical professionals don't understand that and don't know that. So you have to ask, A, is it accredited? Two, who is going to give me anesthesia? And what level is it accredited for? Within quadruple ASF, there's three different levels. And the class C, you can have general anesthesia. You can have the highest level of anesthesia. So one, is it accredited? Two, at what level is it accredited? Who is it accredited by? And then who is going to give anesthesia in the facility?
Right.
You want to make sure it's an appropriate anesthesia provider, a board-certified anesthesiologist or CRNA. You don't want it to the first physician who's going to be doing the procedure to also give the anesthesia. So those are some of the basic things. Also, is the physician who's going to operate on me, do they have privileges in a recognized hospital to do the same procedures that they're going to do in that office-based facility? Because many don't have hospital privileges to do those, and that's why they're in facilities that are not accredited.
That's right, and
wow.
That's that Joan Rivers issue. I mean, her, and I quote, own physician, the specialist, you know, came in there, and you and I are both physicians, you know, Robert. You know, I don't touch anyone if I'm not, you know, on faculty, if I'm not on that, you know, roster of physicians who've already gone through extensive approval. I can't imagine a facility allowing someone to do, you know, a procedure, let alone anything, you know, that even smacks of that, unless they're fully approved. So that, I hope that the Joan Rivers situation has helped bring a lot of this to light and made people a lot more fervent and firm about saying, whoa, wait a minute now. I tell you what I'm signing the approval form for, and I don't want anyone else on board unless there's an emergency. Now, here's the other issue. You know, a lot of people say, well, I would prefer to have an outpatient procedure done in a hospital because if there is an emergency, people are on staff.
Right.
And they're already there, right?
And they're stat. They can be there.
What do you say about that? I mean, you know.
I think if you look at the safety record, and I can speak for Quadruple ASF because that's the accrediting agency that does have great data because it's required that there's peer-reviewed data entered electronically on a regular basis to have accreditation. So we have data of over 12 million procedures nationwide. If you look at that data, and it's been well published, the statistical rate of complications is better actually than most hospitals, lower rate of infection. If you look at real disasters, fatalities, they're about 1 in 50,000. However, that also includes patients who may have had a disaster within the 30 days after surgery, unrelated to surgery. If you look at the data of actual fatalities, disasters in the operating room, it's in office-based facilities that are accredited by Quad A, it's 1 in several 100,000. And if you look at that data of statistical rate of problems, complications, they actually, in a facility that's accredited like that with an appropriate anesthesia provider, with a board-certified surgeon, the statistical rate of problems is better than that in most hospitals nationwide. So I think that inherently ambulatory surgery in the right hands, in the right facility, it's two parts of the equation. It's both the person who's going to do the operation and the facility. Both of them need to be excellent to get good results, but also in the appropriate patient, selecting the right patient. Patients with significant medical underlying problems,
right?
Uncontrolled hypertension, diabetes, exogenous obesity.
You know?
They're not candidates for
right.
necessarily for procedures.
Oh,
either they
right.
shouldn't
right.
have procedures at all, or they should be done in an appropriate facility.
Good
All
point.
Right, so you've really helped us understand, you know, what can someone do to ensure the best results from ambulatory surgery, all the things you need to know. Dr. Robert Singer, we're so happy you're back on Her Radio. The website is rsingermd.com. I'm Dr. Pam Peake with Michelle King-Robeson.
Make sure you do your homework when you have ambulatory surgery or any surgery for that matter. You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Stay well.